I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories. Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. Recently, I sat down with Christine LaFrosia, an artist and singer and a media executive and someone I've known for a really long time. She and I picked up the conversation about quitting, only this time it was from the perspective of being quit on. It's an interesting take when you're on the receiving end. Sometimes you see it coming at you, prepare for it, and even welcome the end of a chapter or a relationship. And at other times, it feels like a ton of bricks coming down on you, like you were completely blindsided. Either way, it creates a clearing to be filled more than understood. Enjoy the episode. Hi, Christine. I'm so happy you're here today.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here with you.
Yeah. So just so we can quickly let the listeners know, Christine and I go back many, many years.
Too many.
Oh my gosh, good times. And recently, after I had recorded an episode about the New York Times essays on I Quit, Christine and I had a chance to chat after that episode aired. And, well, you really came up with an amazing idea, and that was to turn it around and talk a little bit about when you're quit on, when things are not in your control necessarily, and when you're actually on the receiving end of someone else saying, I quit, essentially, yeah. Right? Whether it's jobs, relationships, friendships, or what have you, you know, that is often the case, right? Because we've walked out on things, but people have also walked out on us.
As many things as you can quit yeah. are as many things as you can be quit on.
Right. And so I thought that was so brilliant and immediately said, well, then you should be the one that we should sit down and we are the ones that should be chatting about this. And so thank you for thinking of it in those
terms. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. So I guess first and foremost, you know, you and I have both, also know that we've left certain relations or certain jobs, and you know, we understood why we needed to do those things or what kind of relief it brought us. But talk to me a little bit about the first thing that came to your mind, even when you were thinking about the idea of having a conversation or even thinking that there should be one about being quit on, because it must have at least hit something inside or made you think of a time when that was the case for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first thing that came to my mind is work, because that's such a large part of our lives and how we define ourselves.
Right.
And, you know, I've been quit on, laid off twice in my career. You know, we work in a really volatile industry. And I think the differences between those two experiences for me were really stark, because one was handled what I thought clinically, professionally, it was very businesslike. And the other one had left a distinctly bitter taste in my mouth because of the way it's handled.
Okay.
So I think being quit on, the way you react to it really depends on how you're quit on.
Of course, it's like the big breakup, right? It's like, yeah. Is it kind? Is it thoughtful? Does it take you and what you might be experiencing into consideration? Or is it just about the other party? And is it just about a process or a procedure? And I agree with you. I have had the same thing happen. So, like, I've been laid off. And there are times when, you know, you could sort of see it coming. Like, maybe you're aware of there being some, mm-hmm. you know, attrition at the organization. Or you're aware that, you know, there's just a shift that might impact you. And you've seen it. And so you understand what the components might be. And when it's your turn, while always a little more, you know, surprising, which is always funny, but certainly surprising. You know, it could be handled in a way that makes sense. And there's all this information that's presented, or it can be really startling and not in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, certainly yeah. In retrospect, in thinking about the differences in these two experiences, that is exactly the way I would expect each of them to have been handled, given the nature of the organizations.
Okay. And so in retrospect, it didn't actually end up surprising you, even if the moment it was not very pleasant.
Right.
Okay.
Because the concerns are the same. Oh, sure. My goodness, I don't have a job. How am I going to pay my bills?
Right.
I'm getting older. Or how am I going to get a new job?
Right.
But of course, at the end, it winds up being not only a learning experience, but the cliche is really true. It opens up new doors.
Totally.
It really kind of forces you to examine what you're doing.
Yes. And it's so interesting because I agree with you. Those have been absolutely the end result for me as well. And I think everyone, whether you want to see it that way or feel it that way, hopefully sooner than later, you do understand the good fortune behind that and how change is not necessarily comfortable, but not only is it needed, but it can be incredibly fortuitous. Taking you down a path that's far more in line with, let's say, where you might be or what your deeper interests and what you envision for yourself. And let's not dismiss it. Personal, intimate relationships are really the same way.
Yeah.
They hurt a little and sting perhaps a little bit more. And I don't know that it necessarily matters which side you're on. I mean, I suppose if the rug is pulled out from underneath you, then that's very painful, especially if you weren't aware or paying attention. But nonetheless, when a vacancy occurs, it really gives opportunity for something new to come in. And I don't mind talking about things like that, but, happily share.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think for me, I have, and I continually battle with this, trying to figure out the difference between contentment and complacency.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes it's only in the rear view that you can see that. I mean, the last long-term relationship I was in, we were together, I don't know, 4.5 years. So it was a long-term relationship. And I was broken up with via email.
The dreaded email. It's like a post-it, let's face it.
Well, I think I would have preferred a post-it. At least it's handwritten.
Oh, boy.
And of course, in retrospect, I think back and, I was very angry in addition to being hurt.
Sure.
And I think back now and think, that was what he was capable of doing.
I was just going to ask you that. I wonder in that circumstance or if any, obviously this has happened to others. Is it because that person found it easier to express themselves behind the computer and could find better language to share with you? And I'm not making up an excuse for the lack of, I don't want to use the word heart, but there was a lack of confrontation and personal, looking into your eyes or being in the company of you or with the other. But was it easier to find the right language to ensure that you understood perhaps and that you were able to make sense of it at the end?
I'll never really know, but I certainly think that that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I was really able to let go of that anger when I thought, am I just really expecting more from this person than they're actually capable of?
Yeah.
And the same is true with the bitterness that I felt after getting laid off after my last job.
Right.
Because I wasn't even laid off in person by my boss. I was laid off by the head of HR.
Right.
And
which
my
feels
boss,
so much like it's a detachment from your day-to-day and what you
And you've been in this position as well. You've had to let people go. And I've always felt that people, when you're a manager, you have to have difficult conversations.
Right.
And in relationships, you have to have difficult conversations.
Right.
And people deserve the respect of being looked in the eye and being told either why they didn't succeed or this is a business decision.
Right.
I felt so disrespected.
Well, it's also the intonation, right? It's getting a sense and a read that helps you feel like, did I give you the best service and best I could? Mm-hmm. And can you acknowledge that? Are you saying that to me now, despite the circumstances that are forcing this situation? Can I hear from you in some way that at the very least there was some satisfaction with what we did have while we had it?
Exactly. And I mean, departments were combined.
Sure.
And that was happening, and I know that and I get it. But I was more upset over not being told to my face.
Right.
And, my boss didn't return my calls for 3 days before that. I was thinking, why? What's going on?
Right.
But again, in retrospect, it was a great thing because I was really unhappy.
Yeah, and you don't start to know it until you look, it's kind of placed before you, let's face it.
Exactly. Yeah. And in the relationship that I was broken up with, you know, there were signs that I deliberately chose to ignore.
Right.
And that's not, you know, almost like sour grapes. It really is. When you look back, all of these signs are there.
They're there.
But you just choose to ignore them.
Right. Most people do. They check out. They just extract the parts that they that are feeling right or feeling good, that keep them attached to something, that keep the routine in place and allow them to not really disrupt their everyday and that momentum. I don't know how else to say it. It's like we've become these creatures and we like the habits and we like being able to like become almost numb in a sense. Not everyone, but it's a collective. Yes, exactly.
You know, in relationships, I get very comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's nice knowing that
you can be
that you can be. Yeah. You don't have to wonder what you're doing on a Saturday night. You know where your date. But I've also had breakups that were, I mean, I won't say they were wonderful, but people that I still speak with.
Yeah. No, me too. Oh my gosh, those are my favorites actually. Yeah. Because and I say that because one of the things we'll definitely, you know, zone in on the relationship part of the, you know, being quit on, if you will, or broken up with. I used to always think, like, how do you go from loving someone so deeply, having them be like really the priority or the first person, if you will, mm-hmm. like the first position in your life, to the absolute other end of the scope, to being like the least important person, or I don't love you, or I don't want to ever see or speak to you, or, you know, ever again. And that always was a strange dichotomy and dynamic to me, and I couldn't wrestle it. And so I do have a couple of situations and scenarios where it was a kinder, you know, parting. It wasn't a whole to-do. It wasn't a whole, like, you know, angry throwing words or, you know, mean-spiritedness to one another. And while I understand that that doesn't mean that you should be able to be in contact with people ongoing, not every relationship wants that. And
that's sometimes that's not good for you.
Absolutely fair, right. Your next relationship may not wish that for themselves mm-hmm. and for you. Fair. But where you can at least have some kindness and some loving departing moment, I think it speaks volumes about what you were capable of having when it was good and was in the scope of what you thought you wanted versus not. And I just think there's so much more to say about that and feel good about.
And I think sometimes it's not so much this epiphany, all of a sudden, I don't love this person anymore. But it's this gradual realization that one day just comes to a conclusion. It's like, you know, that's what I have been feeling for all this time.
Right.
And I've been on the other side of that as well. But, you know, it's difficult to have those conversations. So people may wait. So it may feel like it's coming as a thunderbolt out of the, but it's really not.
It's never. Yeah, no, it never is. I think the writing's always on the wall. And yeah.
We just don't always choose to see it.
We're either avoiding it because we do not wish to do it, or we are, you know,
and it's
waiting,
just as
maybe
difficult.
Waiting for the other person.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, just as difficult in a professional situation.
Right.
And, you know, when I was laid off from one job that made me feel great that I was actually let go, I felt, you know, I'm not there anymore. I wasn't happy.
Right.
The prior job, I was really devastated because I loved that job and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
But the venture that we were involved in wasn't going to go, and the network actually went dark about a year later. And my new boss actually forwarded me the press release when they eventually went dark. So, but I do think
so. It was like a blessing, strangely, then in that case, you know, that happened to me actually. I didn't get laid off, but I actually had to leave a company that I felt didn't have the legs to continue, and it was so disappointing to me. It was almost like a forced breakup, right? Like, I wanted to continue doing things in my life, and I wanted to continue growing in my career, and just, of course, on the personal side of that, you know, being able to know that I had some security to a degree and I could make other life-changing decisions for myself. But I did not have confidence in the organization I was working for, and I started to think, you know, if you want to make these changes, buy a home, you know, commit yourself financially into these other spaces, you really want to make
you
sure
know
that
the company's going to be around.
That's
a year
right.
From now.
That's right. And I will say, I felt like I was forced to break up, if you will, or quit my job. And like you, it was only a little more than a year or so later, they went dark as well. And so I wasn't completely wrong or out of line for my concerns.
And this is what you were just talking about. Quitting is not always a bad thing.
It's not even always in our, like, it's not always, not that it's not a bad thing, but sometimes it is a forced dynamic. Like, just for the health and welfare.
And you feel painted into a corner.
Oh, yeah.
I think the thing that hurts most about being quit on in any situation, professional or personal, is when there's never really that final resolution, when you're ghosted or you just never hear anything. I'll never forget, it must be, and this is going back a number of years, and this is how much loose ends can bother me. This has got to be about 8 or 10 years ago. I interviewed with a company that I was very excited about possibly joining. And I had been on a number of interviews, and I think there were maybe 6 total. And I had 2 interviews with the hiring manager who had actually, she actually told me, wow, you know, you and I speak the same language. And then all of a sudden, radio silence.
And you're like, wait, we made this amazing connection, and she shared it with me in a way that would indicate, you know, this could be it.
And of course, there was nothing, there was no offer, there was no your
decline.
Final candidate.
Or I mean, a decline.
There was nothing. And that really, and it's so many years later, and it still sticks in my mind. And I remember, I always try to be gracious, especially in a professional setting.
Of course.
I remember sending her a note, and I actually sent it via snail mail because I thought it would get more attention.
Yeah.
I said something like, you know, I'm sure by this time you've identified a final candidate, so I want to congratulate you on making your choice. It looks like you consider these things really carefully. If you could just let me know, that would be great. And nothing.
Yeah, that's a real bummer.
It's, yeah, being ghosted like that. Yeah. I think it bothered me more in a professional situation.
Because it feels unprofessional.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't
then
feel
in
like
a personal situation. Because in the personal situations where I kind of got ghosted, it was nothing in terms of a relationship. It's like after a date or two or after.
Yeah, and it's like, you know,
okay, whatever.
Not
Goodbye.
Everybody feels like they need to, you know, say very much or give an explanation. Like the silence is it.
Yeah, and that's okay.
But professionally, we feel like there is a protocol to follow and there is a certain amount of like decency and
respect.
Absolutely. And just, you know, keeping someone apprised of what you do or do not wish to pursue with them. I mean, it's not that personal, but it's meaningful to inform someone
and
of
you
where you're
so
at.
And you put so much effort
absolutely
towards, you know, and as a person that's the interviewee.
Yeah, the candidate. It's a big deal.
You don't want to be a pest.
Right.
But yet you feel like you deserve an answer.
Right.
But there comes a point where it's like, you know what, Christine, just let go.
Right. Well, everybody knows the candidate's sweating it. And they have obviously everything to lose in terms of the opportunity.
But clearly 10 years later, I haven't let go.
Well, I don't know that it's even you haven't let go unless it's keeping you up at night.
No.
But I mean, I think it's more like it stays in your mind because it's a classic example of what A, we do not prefer, and B, we do not expect. I mean, those are scenarios and situations where we feel we have kind of a right to expect at least a decline from someone to inform us. Thank you for taking the time to come in and meet about the job. We're moving in another direction. It doesn't even matter if it's the truth. It just needs to be said
that
we are not going forward with you.
Right. Like the job I'm in now, the process was really long because it was really thorough. But
it's a really large organization too. So,
but I got responses.
Right.
I was never
left
hanging.
Yeah.
So it was a completely... It felt disrespectful. I think that's what makes being quit on more difficult
to
handle.
Then let's talk about that. So, like, you know, does it, now that we can look at both sides, and not that we haven't all been on both sides, but like we're really inspecting it, does it change the way that you do things? When you really start to put it together, like the way you treat people, the way that you deal with situations, the way you are professionally, obviously in your intimate relationship, like, do you take more time to like share when you're departing from someone? Do you think that now, if you wanted to sort of migrate away from a relationship in your personal life, would you say something to the person, or do you feel like it's still okay to let things just fall?
And that's a great question.
Yeah, because it's hard.
And it is very difficult.
Yeah.
And I consistently take lessons from my professional life, from my personal life, because if I say professionally that when you let someone go, they deserve to know why. Okay, this is not performance related. Or you didn't perform up to this standard.
Sure.
People, and they deserve to be looked in the eye
right. And
told. Why would I give anything less in my personal life, where the stakes are even higher?
Okay.
Because I know so much what it feels like not to be accorded that respect. And yeah, I think the experiences that I've been through absolutely inform the way I behave moving forward, both personally and professionally.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal, because when I was recently chatting on the episode about I Quit.
With Allison.
With Allison, our buddy. Shout out to Al. I was pretty open, because I am, about, you know, certain relationships that I quit on. And I didn't necessarily send out, you know, any notice or notification. However, and this is not defense, this is just a however, I do believe that in those situations, it was so overdue. There was so much what I felt to be toxic buildup that I didn't necessarily feel that there was anything left to say.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like we had already grown to a place where we weren't being kind to one another. I already felt like we had said too many things that shouldn't have escalated there at all to begin
with. That point is
so
just
the pulling
better,
of the plug, right? It
right.
felt so much more appropriate to almost stop the chaos.
Well,
and,
I mean,
and when I did, it
yeah.
did stop, and no one refuted anything, and no one has made attempts to change it or to, you know, resume it. So I knew that it was appropriate and it was okay. And I also think I learned not to let things ever grow to that point, because you're right. If I sensed it ever again, a conversation of some sort
yeah.
would be in order.
And of course, it's very easy
yeah.
for us at our ages to sit, say, oh, well, of course, now this is... But, you know...
Live and learn.
Clearly, when I was younger... That may not have been probably wasn't the way that I conducted
of course.
Myself
yeah.
in,
right.
in relationships.
Right.
But you live and learn.
Live and learn.
As you get older, these yeah. experiences absolutely inform your behavior going forward.
Yeah, yeah. Which just means you just have to have it happen to you, maybe, and yeah. then you better understand what being on the receiving end feels like.
Yeah.
And you can then... you know, have some empathy perhaps, or at least, again, I think it's more monitoring a dynamic and a relationship, be it in the workplace or in the personal space, to, like we're kind of talking about, keeping your eyes wide open, seeing the writing on the wall, and watching how things are progressing to know whether on a daily basis, you know, should I be here, should I not be here? Is this my place, is this not my place?
Other than, like, you know, we've been talking about romantic relationships. What about just a friendship?
Oh, no, this, I am referring...
quit on you? Yeah.
So I'm referring to quitting on friendships
mm-hmm.
When I make those statements. Like, I am thinking of friendships, actually, because I've been in that situation. Has someone quit on me? Yeah, and it's so funny. For me, I'm thinking of one in particular... there were no words spoken. It was a person that I didn't necessarily speak to on an everyday basis. So it was less obvious to me that it had happened. And then periodic outreach wasn't being, you know, kind
of... reciprocated.
Yeah, wasn't getting anything back. And then I let it go. But I did try a few times, gently, just not knowing, to be quite honest. I didn't realize. And then after, I guess, a period of time, I always say I'm the last to know because it takes me a while to, it always takes me a while for it to sink in and be like, wait, is that, you know,
I don't
is
seem
that
to be
case?
Able to connect the dots
I don't,
right away.
I don't. And it's just one of those things. That's how I roll. And it's why I think I prefer when people tell me things directly, because I really am bad at guessing. But yeah, no, I think I discovered. And at first I was like, oh, okay. And then I started to think immediately, like, you know, was it something I did or said or this and that? And I'm like, yeah, it probably was. And that's okay. You know, I mean, you're allowed to just
and
be you.
And that's the part where we can drive ourselves crazy is but examining I didn't. Our motives.
I started to. And then I was just like, you know what?
I am guilty of that.
It's okay because people have driven you crazy. And
yeah.
It doesn't make anybody wrong or bad. It just makes it what it is. And it's okay that you're not for everyone. And I immediately went there instead. And it was just my way of saying, you're not for everyone. And that, mm-hmm. too, is okay.
But that doesn't, in the moment, and I know I'm guilty of this, because mm-hmm. I can be so neurotic sometimes. I try to dissect every, well, what did I do? What did I say? What
yeah.
did I? And it takes me a little while. I work through it eventually, mm-hmm. but I admit I do. I go through that, and I kind of pour over every, what did I do?
Yeah, you try to recall like all the moments when maybe you were offensive or harsh or whatever was received that didn't sit well with the other person. But you know what that also leads me to think of? So I did an episode recently about love and about trying to be anything but myself in so many relationships in my life. And the more I did that, the more I was disconnected and the less I was finding happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I decided that that was just not how I should be, that things started to feel more natural and just more in what I was expecting, like more in line with me. And I think I kind of take that away now into my friendships and into all my relationships. It's okay that I'm not for everyone. It's okay that there will be times when I have to recognize and accept that, you know, we are no longer able to be compatible or with one another in this relationship or this friendship. And that doesn't mean that I'm wrong, that you're wrong, that someone's right or bad or good or any of those things. It just isn't anymore. And so I just let that go and
move on. What helps me sometimes is, you know that I'm a singer. You've
yes.
been to so many shows.
Christine's a great, amazing singer.
Thank you. But, you know, having so much experience going on auditions,
mm-hmm.
I learned a long time ago that there is always going to be somebody who thinks you are amazing, and there could be somebody standing right next to them who thinks you are the worst thing you've ever heard.
Get her off the stage,
and
right.
And on acting auditions, it's, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm not ethnic enough, I'm too ethnic, So what you're saying is absolutely correct.
Right.
It's really just kind of developing that maturity. I'm not completely there yet, but
we're all work in progress.
At least, you know, recognizing you have a problem is the first.
Right? Step. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like it's developing that emotional intelligence
sure.
and emotional maturity to know you're not for everybody.
Right. And I think the most important takeaway there is to just work at being comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best place for us all to be. And that's where I think we'll come from our most genuine version of ourselves. It works well for us. It's better for our health. It's really better for anyone we come in contact with because they're just getting the true version of who we are. No BS, none of the runaround. Everyone can relax. And what doesn't stick won't stick. And that should be fine with everyone involved. You
Such
most of all.
Incredible words.
You most of all, right? All the individual most of all. So yeah, so whether you're quitting on someone or you are the one on the receiving end of it, I think really at the end of the day, it's just about being yourself and knowing that these things are going to happen and having some grace.
Absolutely. Wonderful words.
Yay. I'm so glad we got to talk about it.
Me too.
Thanks for bringing it up. And yeah, I'm sure once again, you know, all the listeners will find a little something in there for
Thank
themselves.
You for- liking my idea.
Yeah. Well, that's, we're open.
Yeah.
When my friends bring me ideas, I invite them on in. So be careful what you ask for. And thanks for listening. 's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.